And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studio, Sam Webb. Veronica Rates on the other side of the glass. So you have MGo Blog Roundtable crew minus one. Over here, Brian Cook and Craig Ross, and the Wolverines fall on the road in Champaign last night. Speaking of falling on the road, that's every team in the Big Ten so far. You know, every road team has lost.
Is that right?
Yes. 10-0, the home teams are in the early going as far as the Big Ten conference play is concerned. And I'm curious, were you guys at all surprised by the loss last night to the Illini?
I mean, going into this game, your Michigan's actually a Vegas dog, and they're only favored by one but in KenPom, so can't be too surprised, especially when you shoot 3 of 18 from 3. It's just, that's a lot to overcome on the road. And they weren't really able to execute their defensive game plan that they've, like, I think Illinois' first 20 points were in the paint. And, like, they've done a really good job of pushing usage into the mid-range, and this was a team that looked ripe for it. But, you know, Feliz is able to get to the basket way too much. Yep. Like, they pulled Dave for Nunez for a large portion of the first half because he got toasted a couple times. And, like, it just felt like they needed to talk to him or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a defensive move that you think would be an upgrade.
That's not something where you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So, like, they clearly weren't happy with a couple of those possessions, and you know, you just kind of get yourself in a hole. And I honestly, Illinois played better than I thought they were capable of, because you see what they've done this season. You know, they lose to Miami at home on a last second play, and they kind of gack it up against Maryland.
Well, they were up, I think, 15 in that game.
Yeah, they're up
the
15, and there's like a 13 minute period where they get like a bucket. Yeah. So, you know, they played well. Coburn, I mean, he hit like what, all of his free throws?
He missed two. I think he was 7 of 9.
Okay, well, he hit his first six, and I was just like, come on, this guy's been playing organized basketball for 3 years. He's 7 feet tall. He's 600 pounds. Now he's making free throws too. Come on.
Yeah, 7 of 9 from the free throw line.
Well, he's made, and he coming into in the Maryland game, I think he made all of his free throws.
Yeah.
After starting terribly from the line, he started to shoot it well.
I mean, the guy's he's a real
player.
Yeah, he was the most impactful player on the floor last night.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned hitting his free throws. The guy was, he had 10 boards. He blocked 4 shots. Yeah. I mean, he was a beast.
And I think, you know, Juwan kind of had a bit of a coaching flub because he had periods of time when he has Castleton out there on Coburn. And they have a weird substitution pattern where they're pulling him out and they're playing him, like, through that 12 to 9 minute period and a half where often your starters are sitting. So Michigan has 6 or 7 minutes where it's Castleton. He's picking up a ton of fouls in the second half, and it's just, you know, their substitution patterns, I think, got them some advantageous matchups in the post.
Yeah,
it certainly showed up on the glass because, you know, you look at the disparity, Craig. Michigan got out-rebounded by 16, and it was the offensive glass. You know, 15 offensive rebounds for Illinois in this game and 16 second chance points. I mean, 16 second chance points, and you look at Michigan, 0 second chance points. And that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the game right there, because it's not like Illinois. I mean, they didn't shoot well from distance. They were 1 for 11 from 3.
Yeah, but the difference there is that they're one of the worst teams in the country at shooting threes. Like, they have Frazier, and then everybody else is awful. So that's something you could expect going into the game, because you have one of the best three-point defenses in the country going up against one of the worst three-point offenses. They're probably going to put up close to a bagel from three. Mm. You know, Michigan coming into this game is shooting 40% on high volume. They get a lot of good looks, especially Franz Wagner, and they hit 3 of 18.
They hit 3 of 18. So, you know, the other occasion where we talked about them shooting this, you know, being this abysmal from from three-point range was against Louisville. Ooh. And, you know, again, you're talking about what are the other ways in which you can get some points and or at the very least limit the production of the other team. And it's just too many second-chance opportunities for Illinois in this game.
Yeah, Illinois rebounded 41% of their misses, and that's just a ridiculously high number. And was key to this game. What was, as Brian points out, Illinois doesn't shoot it great from three, yet when I went back, I watched this in slow motion between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. last night. We got blown by a dozen times in the half court. And I'm not, and it's hard to figure out why. It would seem the one thing we would not want to do is get beaten off the dribble against a team that isn't going to shoot it great from three. Yet, and it wasn't just one guy; it was six guys were beaten off the dribble, and once you got beaten off the dribble with their big guys, especially Coburn inside, they're going to score. Yeah. And so that was a frustrating part of the game. Aside from the fact we were 3 of 18 from three, and I went back and I thought. Because there was some noise, oh, these were bad looks, but I thought they were mostly really good looks. I mean, there were maybe one or two of the 18 that wasn't a great look, but they were mostly just good shots that we missed. I mean,
in the second half, yeah.
Yeah, Jawan said that in the first half he felt they rushed the threes. They were too soon in the clock, but when I went back and looked, I thought, no, these were okay shots, open shots. They might have been early in the clock, but, you know, you want to take open looks. I mean, the frustrating part for me in it was we couldn't seem to find Livers, who, you know, his primary value on a basketball court is his ability to shoot the ball. And he had six shots last night. Mm-hmm. He made four of them. And
two for three from three-point range.
Yeah, and two, yeah, exactly. And we just couldn't seem to find him in spots where he could get decent looks.
Yeah, so. I think it's a great point. You know, looking for him, him hunting his shot is another big factor. But that is a glaring stat, 4 for 6. But the thing that jumps out to me, and I mentioned this to you in the break, he played 37 minutes, mm-hmm. and he had one rebound. And that has to be a coaching point in practice. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to have – he has to be more active on the glass. I'm sure he would tell you that too.
Yeah, I would say at this point, especially against a team that can board, that probably it makes sense to give Brandon Johns more minutes. If you look on the year, Johns has, I wrote this down, he's got 41 rebounds and 136 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
Which isn't bad. And Franz has 20 rebounds and 166 minutes. So you're saying
slide Isaiah to three and play Brandon Moore at the four, get some more size on the court.
Right. And I think at least. The minutes
watch more rebounding ability on the floor.
Yeah, I mean. The minutes probably need to be more balanced right now between Johns and Franz. And, you know, if you look at the shooting, it's, you know, Franz is only 5 of 23 from 3, I think, on the season, which is not good. And Johns is 2 of 9. It's about the same percentage.
Yeah.
But Johns is shooting 47% from the floor. Franz 35%. So at this moment, at least, it doesn't seem to me that it's clear. I mean, Franz may well have more upside, and he may be showing it in practice, but on the floor right now, it seems like their minutes should be a little more balanced.
And, you know, and Craig, hey, I might surprise you. I don't disagree. As a really, really strong believer in what Franz will be, I guess I'm not surprised that it's taking him a minute to find his shooting touch. It's
and
not just the
young.
Rust. He's coming off a broken wrist.
He's a very young freshman, and Johns has been around a little longer. I think Johns is physically stronger because he's a little older and has been in the program.
Well,
so
yeah, I think they need some more rebounding.
They can't do this. And because that was, you know, one of the two or three reasons why they lost the game.
And Brandon Johns, to your point, he played 8 minutes last mm-hmm. night, Craig, and had four rebounds.
Yeah.
You remember I just said Isaiah Livers played 37
right.
and had one.
Yeah, so, I mean, so Johns has showed that he's willing to mix it up on the boards, even against big, tough guys, and he's had some success. You know, really, I think in the Iowa game, didn't he have, I mean, can you look at the box for Iowa? I think he rebounded really well in that game. And that was
I think he led the team in rebounds with eight, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he had five on the offensive boards.
That sounds right. I think he had eight and five. Total rebounds, five offensive, and I'm pulling them up now.
Yeah, I think
that's right. Eight rebounds, five offensive, and 12 points.
Yeah, and so I was surprised that his minutes were so limited in this game, given that he was coming off the Iowa game where he really did go to the boards quite well. And in fact, I thought that was a difference in an Iowa game where I don't.
He comes in this game and he has an open look from three. He double clutches and then bricks.
Yeah, he did.
And that's why he only played 8 minutes. Because you can't put a guy in the game who's going to turn down an open shot and then take a bad one. Right? Like, that's always kind of been his thing, right? Like, he comes in and he doesn't have decisiveness, the confidence to
true. But I think part of what has allowed him to maybe, you know, be more productive in this short, I know it's a short sample space, is that they've allowed him to play through mistakes like that.
Well, I mean, he wasn't really bringing a whole lot on the offensive end, and Michigan needed the scoring. So I know that Franz isn't making his threes right now, but he's a guy who shot 39% from three last year in pretty large sample size and is a 90% free throw shooter.
Yeah, he's a great free throw shooter.
So it's going to happen. It's just... And I think you got to ride it out because he's a guy who clearly has the potential. And, you know, we underrate what he does defensively. I mean, the number of times when people look at Franz and then they're like, nah, is really surprisingly large. He's just like all arms. He's able to he poked a lot of balls loose. You know, he forced some turnovers. Like, I think that, I mean, obviously the rebounding is an issue, but, you know, when you're rebounding is an issue and you're looking at your three, I don't necessarily think that's the solution.
Yeah,
I think he was. You were just saying that to get Johns on the floor, right?
I'm saying that, you know,
to slide.
I don't disagree with what Brian said. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I feel like the minutes should be more balanced right now and see how this plays through. And as true for anybody playing basketball, the more minutes you play, the more likely it is that you're gonna hit something close to your ability. Once you feel like, oh, I've got to go in and I've got to play well, or I'm going to get pulled. You saw that with David DeJulius last year, couldn't hit the side of a barn. You see it with any player who's looking over his shoulder. And it's why I've argued for, you know, in the past for short benches. I'm not sure I'm arguing that with this team anymore.
Maybe. Good. Good.
So, but I do think that 8 minutes was probably too few in this game when we're getting clobbered on the offensive boards.
I mean, Illinois comes in as the number one offensive rebounding team in the country.
Is that right? They were?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You could see why, I guess. Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be some level of getting hammered on the boards because that's just what happens. And the other part about it is that they throw up so many ugly bricks that
the ball bounces out crazy ways.
Like,
no, that's
many,
true.
How many just thunks off the backboard were they? And they go to like Georgie because he's like, ooh, I found this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously they got to do something about their rebounding issues. But, you go into that game expecting that Illinois is going to be something close to 1 of 11 from 3. And that they're going to get a lot of second chance points. And then the reason that Michigan can't win that game
is they don't make any shots.
Is they don't make any shots,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, maybe that's all it comes down to. I mean, you may be right. And we certainly couldn't make a shot.
I mean, they lose by 9, and if they shoot a crappy percentage from 3, 6 of 18, 33%, that's a tie game. So, and were the quality of the looks worse than usual? I don't think so.
I thought they got some really good, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember, as the quality being quite as good. Maybe it was, Craig. I have to watch it again. But in the second half, for sure, I was like, oh man, these are good looks that just aren't falling.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I mean those are all really good thoughts. You know, what did you think about the Garza performance in the Iowa game? I mean, isn't that a little surprising? I mean,
well, this Michigan State used to do this a lot with Ward. So they'd play him 20 minutes a game, and when he was in 20 minutes a game, they would run after makes. And he would get super deep post position, and then there's not really much you can do. So I think a lot of that was Michigan having to relearn the lessons they learned a few years ago about getting back against post players. Yeah. So, you know, Garza, I think he had like 5 buckets in the first 10 seconds of the clock, and that's more of a systematic issue than any particular defender. And then the last against Louisville, Iowa, and Illinois, we've blocked 2 shots in each of these games that turn into buckets for the opponent. Easy buckets.
Yeah.
We got to stop blocking so many shots or like spike them. I don't know what we're doing, but we got to. This is drives me crazy. But a couple of his buckets were off blocks where Teske packs him and then he just goes right back to him. And he's like, oh, there's no one guarding me anymore because Teske already blocked my shot. And he puts it in. So, I mean, that performance was really good. He was hitting from everywhere, too. So,
and yet they still lost by double digits.
Well, they're off. I mean, that's the worst defensive team in the Big Ten. Year after year, I mean, I don't get it.
Was it one of you guys that tweeted the video, the McCaffrey?
Oh, no, that was UM Hoops.
Defensive video.
Yeah.
And I just made the mistake of thinking Craig was on Twitter, which he isn't.
I don't even know what that is.
Interesting thing is they play a lot of zone in that game, and Michigan was much more decisive, had much more of a plan against zone than they had under Beilein ever. So there was one, I think it was a Johns dunk, where
the double cut
where Livers is also cutting, and Livers has his hand up like, ooh, I'm you should give me the ball, pulls up a guy, baseline dunk for Johns from Teske. And there were a couple other plays where it's like, okay, this is something designed to go up against zone, which Michigan had none of under John Beilein. Nothing. Passing around the perimeter, jack up a shot late in the clock. Very, very frustrating.
Yeah, I tweeted about that during the game, how comfortable they looked attacking the zone. And what it reminded me of was a game where Beilein did have a plan against the zone, and that was in the Final Four against Syracuse.
But Syracuse
could really play a zone, and that team was a good defensive zone team, unlike Iowa, which is, you know.
Well, there were some embarrassing instances of Iowa defense in that game, but I thought more often Michigan was actually testing the limits of their zone, and I think a lot of teams would have found the same situation happening to them. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that has to be a Phil Martelli thing. Because, I mean, Juwan's been in the NBA for 20 years, right? Like, they have some zone.
But they're not playing a 2-3 zone.
But they're not playing a 2-3, right? So, like, I feel like all zone things are Martelli's.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, Phil, who we got a chance to talk to again this week, he was talking about the things that he's learning in the process from the NBA influence. Of course it has to be that. I agree with you. The part that he's taken from Juwan, he said, man, I'm a hedge ball screen, hard hedge guy. I'm not an analytics guy. But he said, I'm learning that, you know, a mid-range shot is not going to beat you. And analytics, as long as they aren't overbearing, aren't a bad thing. And so, you know, it seems to be a nice mixture going on there.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably right about that, and Juwan is right about that. What will beat you is getting the ball to the rim, which is what Illinois was able to do.
Well, he said that.
And you know, it. 2 footnotes. One is that Lewis Garrison, who got just clobbered the head last night, I hope he's okay.
I'm only laughing because I think he is okay.
That's like the worst shot I ever saw an official take in a game.
That was amazing.
I mean, he just got cold cocked.
And guy's like Godzilla.
Right. But Lewis Garrison, when I saw that he was one of the refs in the game, I just said, oh, man. We were 0-3. We didn't lose that many games last year, but we were 0-3 last year when Garrison reffed. And so now we've lost 4 straight games when he's reffed. Now, I don't think his refereeing was that bad, and I don't think it was.
I think it's a stretch to point to the refereeing for, I mean,
for on this game for sure.
They had zero fouls for 17 minutes, and then that period early in the first half where they're racking them up, like I couldn't even be mad. I'm like, yep, that's a foul.
Although in the last three games were minus 44 free throws when Garrison's ref. So he's not a ref that we've gotten great games out of, but I don't think refereeing had much to do the game last night.
You should start a site that just, you know, keeps track of referees. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be huge.
Well, I don't know.
I'd subscribe to that service.
I don't know. Borowski, who was the lead ref, I think, last, is an excellent ref. So, I mean, I'm not beefing about refs last night.
All right, we got to get to a break. As we do, I want to turn your attention to Brighton Ford. Get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com or calling 1-800-NEW-FORD. And our friends at Brighton Ford want you to know the IRS tax code allows up to 100% in write-offs for new business equipment purchased in 2019. So don't miss this opportunity. You still have time. Brighton Ford is Michigan's commercial truck headquarters. The large and small businesses count on Brighton Ford for their customized truck fleet. So visit any of Brighton Ford's three in-house commercial certified product specialists and let Brighton Ford help customize your truck. Get your IRS tax write-off before year end. And again, you only have a couple of weeks now, a few weeks left to go to do that. Municipalities, contractors, skilled tradesmen, landscapers, and construction workers. Brighton Ford has trucks for you. Get on board with Brighton Ford by calling 1-800-NEW-FORD. Going to brightonford.com. Got to get to a break. Come back on the other side and close things out here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.